This podcast was recorded at the Blue Summit Water Conference.
Irving LeBlanc, sitting next to Ralph, is the Special Advisor on Water for the Assembly of First Nations, and he's also the Acting Director for Housing and Infrastructure for the Assembly. His directorate is responsible for advocating on water, wastewater, source water protection, housing, and for many other areas of infrastructure. Irving is an Ottawa, and he's a member of the Wikwamikong, am I saying it? Unceded Indian Reserve on Manitoulin Island. Thank you very much, Irvin, who came unexpectedly, I think, from Halifax and is a little concerned, as always, when you try to get out of Halifax if you're going to make it through the fog. And he did, and it's great to have you. Irving, I wonder if you could describe the state of water, particularly in First Nations communities. Share with us and expand a little bit on what Paul touched on in his opening remarks.
Thank you, Maura. I'll do my best because it's such a broad issue. But first of all, I want to thank the host, Council of Canadians and QP for inviting Assembly of First Nations to participate here. I just want to recognize that the Algonquin Territory for allowing me to be here. I just want to do that. And just a brief, just very one-liner on the Assembly of First Nations. Role is a national advocacy role in terms of for advocating for First Nations, Canada's First Nations issues. So I'll just go into now the what we see as some of the issues with the First Nations and with just a broad statement in terms of legislation. Currently, there is no legislation dealing with water and wastewater issues in First Nation communities. There are no rules or legislation that guides how water is managed in First Nations territories. There is only management through funding arrangements that the federal government, through their lead department, Indian and Northern Affairs, they dictate how the water is to be managed through funding arrangements. In other words, it's if you don't do it, we'll cut off your money. So essentially, that's the only point in place to look after that. The water guidelines are based on Canadian drinking water guidelines, and as we all know, they're all just minimum guidelines. They're not standards. And only really the, probably the only area that is impacting is what's covered under the Fisheries Act in terms of deleterious substances to water or fish-bearing waters. Just a little bit of background on First Nations, as most of you hopefully know, aware that the First Nations face crippling poverty, and that's one of the major issues that is really at the forefront of leadership, trying to deal with that. It is the First Nations is the fastest growing population. Over 50% of the First Nation population is under 23 years of age. There's other issues that impact and where water, the lack of access to water, impacts severe overcrowding in homes, in situations where there may be a boil water advisory in the community, 16 people living in a three-bedroom house, 1,000-square-foot house, trying to deal with that. Backlog of 80,000 homes and current homes of 44,000 need repair. Education challenges, only about 60% of First Nations students make it through high school. So against that backdrop, the First Nations face a huge infrastructure deficit, there was some mention by Paul about the Canada's Economic Action Plan, how that impacted First Nations. If there's such a backlog. There's $1 billion annual backlog of infrastructure requirements. And even with the study that INAC itself commissioned a few years ago determined that there is a $15 to $25 billion backlog in infrastructure in First Nations. Excuse me. And even that one might argue that there has been a lot of money put on First Nations water issues in recent years, starting with the First Nation Water Management Strategy of $600 million, budget 2008 and 2009, which about adds up to about $1 billion since 2006. That only addresses the $1 billion deficit annually in First Nations country. So it might sound a lot of money, but it is not enough. We know that, as Paul mentioned, 124 communities today in First Nations have some form of drinking water advisory. Some of those have been there since 1995, and most of them there have been there for many years. So these communities have had to face drinking water advisories along with all the other pressures that they face of poor schools, lack of schools, overcrowding. And so in terms of addressing the water issues, they did do, there was a study done in 2006, or 2003, sorry, that identified there were about 193 water plants in First Nations countries that were high risk. Today, with the government's own report, there still remain 48 communities that have high-risk systems. They might sound a big improvement, but a majority of those were what even the minister himself called the low-hanging fruit. Those were the ones that were easy to deal with. These 48 plants are going to be difficult to deal with, so First Nations will still be on boil water advisories for years to come, as it takes about an average of 10 years to get the project from start to finish. So on the infrastructure side, there's a real problem with addressing First Nations where they are with water. Going back to the first statement of and what the government plans to do now to close that gap in legislation is they've drafted a preliminary First Nations Safe Water Act, and that would impose, or they would develop regulations, legislation authorizing the minister to begin developing regulations. But this would be referencing provincial standards, which we know is a hodgepodge of standards across the country. And if that proceeds, First Nations across the country will not have equal service across the country, and that's Assembly of First Nations' role is to ensure that all First Nations have equal service across the country. So there's certainly an aspect of that that is not going to meet First Nations' needs. In terms of where this is going, the duty to consult has not been respected, and that's a big issue with First Nations. And moving ahead, the government has not listened to First Nations in terms of or elaborating what we want. They have moved ahead on the federal government's own preferred option and has decided to go out and consult on their option. So is that consultation? No, not in our view. The other aspect is that since this did not meet the duty, the law to consult, and I think as it impacts the national water policy, I think at this point I would have to say that First Nations would want to be consulted on that process, and certainly I think they certainly have a right to speak out and see how that would impact them, and they would need to be at the table right from the start, not a document that is thrust upon them and asked to comment on it after the fact. So certainly I think that's something that we need to look at as we go into this, make sure the First Nations are represented at the table right from the start and that they are part of that whole process. I think hopefully I have the captured the essence of First Nations issues on water and wastewater. Really today, and maybe it'll come up, First Nations today face real threats, and I think there was mention of Ontario moving ahead to a market study on water. Today, Albert is moving forward to marketing licenses, and that process, situation there is on a first-in-time, first-in-rate, and we kind of scratch our heads saying, well, who was here first? So First Nations really face a real threat here if this moves ahead in terms of being able to access water within these licenses and the market for licenses. First Nations cannot afford to buy their share of that. So this becomes a real issue in Alberta, and I think it's going to become an issue in other areas as we move to privatization of water. And the basic right to water issue. Hopefully that clears.
Thank you very, very much.
This podcast was recorded at the Blue Summit Water Conference. The Canadian Union of Public Employees and the Council of Canadians organized the summit to mark the 10th anniversary of Water Watch. The conference took place in Ottawa, November 27th to 29th, 2009.